Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, infertility busters for the stressful holiday season. Our guest this evening, we have two guests I'm celebrating. We have Fran Meadows and Miss Helen Adrian. And I want to tell you a little bit about them just real quick before we before they say hello. Fran is an author, an infertility advocate, and became a mom through IVF to her one son. She is one of the many women who has struggled with infertility and the devastation of a late pregnancy loss. So sorry, Fran. She works with other women fighting infertility by providing hope, inspiration, strength, resources, and she is a friend to lean on. I can tell you from personal experience, she is. She offers support through online support groups as well as email support, hoping that sharing her story will help others. Her campaign to combat infertility has been featured in pages of Red Book, Truth About Trying Campaign, Clio Magazine, in Australia, Women's Essence Magazine, and appearance on the Steve Katos Show, Huffington Post Live, Better CT News, Connecticut Style News, Fertility Forum, Radio. There's many more. Welcome, Fran.
Thank you. Thank you for the great introduction. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I want to introduce Helen, too. And she has been a psychotherapist for over 35 years. Although a general therapist, she is specialized in working with people dealing with infertility. Helen is trained in mind-body therapy, clinical hypnotherapy, and conducts mind-body stress reduction classes at NYU Fertility Center. Helen has presented at national and international conferences. Her book, On Fertile Ground, Healing Infertility, launched as a number one bestseller on Amazon, and her website contains much more information, including she's doing a new two-day training for professionals to help them train other people going through infertility through her mind-body techniques. Isn't that right, Helen? Welcome.
That about sums it up. Thank you so much.
Welcome, ladies. We have two people, you know, three of us on the call. I'm excited to get this call started. Today we're going to be talking about fertility advice that actually works. I love it. So is there anything I missed, ladies, in your introduction?
No, I think you got it just about. You summed it up. I mean, as far as us telling our, you know, stories and, you know, Helen telling her professional advice and tips, I think it's going to be a great call.
Yeah,
I think we need to just move on so people can get what they're tuned in for.
Sounds good. Fran, do you want to kick it off and tell us your story?
Sure. I mean, basically, I became involved in the community through my own personal experiences with infertility. And, you know, infertility is something that unless you're going through it or you've been through it, it's very hard for other people to understand. And, you know, through my journey, I learned a lot of different tips to kind of keep myself balanced and block out the craziness, because I was definitely one of those crazy women, or at least I thought I was. And, you know, a lot of my emotions came out, and I think it was, you know, for me, feeling very alone. And I never told anybody about my journey, so it was something where I was angry, I was embarrassed, I was so ashamed, you know, I felt like less of a woman, and it was just such a difficult time for me, you know, struggling with, you know, all these emotions, not knowing, you know, where to go and who to turn to. And, you know, it's definitely something like, I mean, I'm sure Helen, in a professional aspect, could validate some of the feelings that I've felt, where other people probably come and see her for, you know, treatment.
Yeah, in fact, it was interesting the way you put it. You said to keep yourself balanced. And the mind-body stress reduction techniques that I teach are about rebalancing and rebalancing and rebalancing and rebalancing, because every day you can be blindsided by something. And basically what you're describing, Fran, I can sum up in another way by saying that depression and anxiety are normal, absolutely normal. And also there's a kind of a divide where people don't tell because of the shame, the embarrassment, all the things that you were talking about. And then there are those who get on a soapbox and tell everybody in hopes, desperate hopes of getting something that they need. And then it's interesting how people switch places. You know, those who don't tell, tell. Mm-hmm. Those who tell, wish they hadn't. You know, it's crazy making.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely is. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. I went from complete silence, not telling family, friends, nobody, and that's basically when I started the way I felt like my emotions needed to get out because I felt like nobody really understood, even sometimes, mm-hmm. unfortunately, the husband or significant other. Sometimes they can't actually get where you are. So I started journalizing, and that is basically where I started, you know, writing about my emotions, how I felt, you know, who I wanted to curse out that day or, you know, what mm-hmm. doctor's appointment mm-hmm. I had, what medications, you know, made me feel crazy. You know, it was just something that got my emotions out, and it was on paper. And, you know, I never sought out to write a book, but after seeing all the journals that I wrote, I felt like somebody else needed mm-hmm. to hear my story to feel like less alone on their end. And, you know, it comes to, like, the way I felt. I had to get my emotions out some way. And writing, for me, was the way I needed to do it. And, you know, I did also seek out therapy on my own because a lot of the support groups that were around, in a sense, do drive-bys. I would drive by and see if I liked who I saw or, you know, the atmosphere, if somebody was going to see me. And if I didn't like it, I left. So,
I love that. I love that, Fran, the drive-by support group. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I'm sorry. I just wanted to comment that it's interesting that, unbeknownst to you, you selected a venue that is in dead center helpful, and that is getting it out, just so happens by way of journaling, getting it out by way of speaking, but getting it out because there's so much that builds up. And I have found also that the people who come to my mind-body support groups, which are psycho-educational, namely I teach things that help, is really a departure from the kind of drive-by that you're talking about, Fran, because there are some people who go to support groups and monopolize and tell things that are unhelpful, unoptimistic, and you wind up getting dragged through the mud when you're already in the mud. So, you were really quite an advocate for yourself, that it's not a surprise that you've become such a fabulous advocate for others.
Thank you, Helen. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know what, I think just learning from things that you've been through, you know, kind of like going back to, like, you know, you learn from your mistakes and you'll never make that mistake again, you know, or, you know, you make that mistake once and, you know, you may make it again, but you just keep going. So it's kind of like the way I took it, where, you know, I expressed my emotions in the way that I felt I needed to. And everybody is different, obviously.
That's right.
Everybody's journey is unique. My, you know, my way of doing it might not be somebody else's, you know.
Yeah,
somebody
right.
else might want to, you know, do something differently or, you know, share, like you said before, Helen, some people mm-hmm. are either very silent like myself or they share the world with every, you know, every little detail on Facebook or, you know, blogging or, and that's great because they're getting it out, but, you know, it might not be my way and their way might not be, you know, anybody else's way. So, I mean, it's so unique because of the way people actually take on this, you know, this strong disease that nobody could understand, you know. Yeah. So I think it's interesting and it makes it so much more unique, the journey.
Yeah.
I'll
pipe in, then I'll let you go, Helen.
Sure.
I think you're absolutely right, Fran, when you say that everybody's journey is unique and, you know, one way works for you versus, like, for me, in my personal journey, you know, me talking out loud about it was one of the ways that I dealt mm-hmm. with it. And so I was that open and really raw and honest to about anybody that asked. And I know that a lot of people's reaction was like, whoa, that's too much information. But I was like, I don't care. This is the way I've got to deal with it. And being, and it's also like, I think, and Helen, you could definitely weigh in on this. I mean, how we deal with the most stressful times is how we learned how to deal with it as a kid. And and that may, it may work, but there are also other ways that may be more in alignment with what our spirit needs, with what our heart needs, with what our mind needs. So, Helen, you want to weigh in
on
that? Yeah,
I mean, this you know, like 3 years' worth of information I could depart based on your two sentences. But basically, to kind of go right to the heart of it, people who don't know how to respond when you open up like that, I would say for the most part are well-meaning, but there's no protocol. You know, like someone dies, you know to go to a wake, you know to say, I'm sorry about your loss. But even though infertility is a scourge that hits almost 20% of the population of childbearing age, there's still not a protocol. I also want to comment on the well-meaning people being the spouses, the partners. I find that the difference between men and women and how they respond, you know, women like to emote and talk about things, and men have been trained to, quote, fix, right, which is great if you're a toilet or a car. But if you're a woman who needs, support, it's like, duh. And this is even worse if the husband's mother was a hysteric because he was too little to deal with her emotions and probably dove under the couch or some other thing. So this is an opportunity to learn, how to go forward together. In fact, my next blog post is going to be about the impact on couples and, you know, how to look at this in a way that's not about blame and fault. So, really the bless and the mess, you know, people don't necessarily relate to that opportunity right at first. But when I wrote my book and I asked the question in the questionnaire, how is your life better because you struggled with infertility, some of my colleagues thought I was out of my mind, but I got answers without batting an eyelash from everyone. One woman had 10 answers, the ways in which her life was better. So, you know, it's easier to look back on that, harder when you're in the middle of it.
Right.
But still, if you can just pull back far enough to have a perspective to know that this is probably your best teacher coming forward, so that all the stresses and strains that are going to, not maybe, but going to hit you later in life, you'll be much better equipped to deal with.
That is so true, because I know once you do get into parenthood, Fran, you could definitely attest to this, that the challenges just, they increase.
Absolutely agree. I mean, Helen, like you were saying, with the spouse issue, I mean, my husband, I love him dearly, he was there through thick and thin from every aspect, but hard aspect for him was dealing with me emotionally, and obviously I was an emotional mess. It was easier for him to say, well, why don't you do this, or stop looking at what other people are doing.
Fixing, right.
And so, I mean, I think it might just be, I mean, and men, I love you all, but don't, you know, feel like this is all you, but, you know, just listen, you know. And it took time for him to actually sit down and just listen to me, you know, and that made me even want to write more, because I would write and I would literally leave my journal and see if he would read it so he would understand. So he would understand, you know what, you don't want to hear my mouth anymore talk or vent or, you know, get emotional. Read what I am writing.
There's something that gets left out with the, you know, the disconnect that happens sometimes between partners, and that is that a miscarriage or a late loss, like you had, Fran, or a failed IVF for the umpteenth time, is really a loss for the man as well.
Absolutely. And, they just,
you know,
deal with
that
it so differently.
That gets lost in the shuffle sometimes because, you know, the woman is more accustomed to and accepting of being out there with her emotions, and he goes into a spin, not knowing what to do with her, and what mm-hmm. he's feeling, you know, flies, you know, down the drain sometimes. So it really is learning about how to be mutually compassionate, mutually listening, and available and kind, and how you're on the same team, not to let this become something where you're at odds. Although I can tell you, I've seen that. I'm just thinking about a couple where he went running off and told his mother and his sister, and she was horrified. But meanwhile, having told them, the cat was out of the bag. And this is a couple, one of the few that really didn't stay around long enough to repair and to heal and to go forward in a good way. This couple was really stuck in the muck and mire.
And that's
what you want to, you know, you want to see this as an opportunity. But, you know, if people are ego invested instead of, you know, heart invested, this can go right off the rails.
Right. No, and to touch on what you said about, like, you know, having a miscarriage or a late loss like I did, everybody would ask me, how are you doing? How's everything? Are you? They would never ask how my husband was doing. And one day I remember my husband kind of blowing off steam, like, you know what? We both lost a child.
There you go.
It's not
just
about her. You know, and I wasn't angry. Like, I was glad that he actually let that out. Like, you know what? It's me too. I lost a child too. You know, it's always back to the woman, like it's all about the woman. What about the man? It does take two, or in my case, three, to make a baby.
And for me, Fran, you know, it was, you know, three rounds of failed IVF, and we never had success. And so then it's really about, you know, what is the opportunity, you know, where I was at in my journey, you know, feeling that opportunity, like there's another opportunity around the corner. And right now it's like, you know, birthing this telesummit to really be of service to other people. So even though I didn't have success having a child, still being in that place of opportunity and healing for myself, like I can still help other people.
I love the way you said that, birthing this teleseminar, because one of the points that I make in my book is the value of creativity as a healing thing. I mean, I've had people who have, if they could afford it, buy a fixer-upper, and while they're waiting for their miracle, they're stripping the wallpaper and sanding the floors. But you don't have to do anything that dramatic. You can, you know, you can buy a little fabric and make placemats. You can paint a wall red, you know. Just have some fun and don't lose sight of the fact that this may very well take a lot longer than you want for it to resolve. But it doesn't mean you have to give away 6 months, a year, 3 years of your life with not having any enjoyment.
Yeah, and I relate to that, Helen, like being in that mode of creativity, because creativity is where you do the birthing.
Yeah, exactly. It's what's more creative than creating a child, right?
Right, exactly.
But then to have an analogous activity of some kind in the meantime is about as good as it gets.
Right. Yeah,
right.
Being in that place of creation of something. Yes,
you know, the other thing that can be created is a new, improved version of yourself. I like to frame it that way, because, you know, if you just look at the personality traits that come flying out of the rafters, Fran, you mentioned anger, which is a big one. But in my book, I dissected six personality traits, anger being one, negativity, insecurity, impatience, self-esteem, and fear, and the ways in which when we are under stress, we react rather than respond, and how much there is to learn about managing anger, managing negativity, and all of those things that I listed. And in the end, you know, if you're able to be in a stressful situation and have your brain connected to your mouth in a new way, it just is so much easier to be you. and so
Absolutely.
Much easier to be in relationships with coworkers, never mind partners, with parents, with cousins, with, you know, with people who are in your world.
Yeah, so then you're less triggered. What were the triggers for you, Fran?
Oh, goodness. It's funny that you say that, because I was going to say my anger resonated from, let's just say, not that I'm not happy for anybody that becomes pregnant, but when you're going through infertility and you're struggling and then somebody announces they're pregnant and they weren't even trying, or, you know, it's just key words that come out and it's just like, she didn't just say that, like, you know. And then you say, you know, you try and keep your calm because, you know, especially because I was trying to keep it silent, it was very difficult for me to actually even react. And my reaction, even though anger was inside of me, the way I express my anger sometimes is just by crying, you know.
Right.
And crying made me feel like, you know what, okay, I got this off my chest for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, and then
yeah,
I'll
well,
go
it
home and,
it prevents, yeah. prevents an implosion, Fran. You know, it's
yes.
a healthy thing.
Yeah,
yes.
it is.
And you know what? At the time, I thought it was totally unhealthy. Like, why
no.
am I thinking these things? You know,
no.
you know. Obviously, you know, I want to become pregnant. And, you know, now somebody here that, you know, is a friend or a family, I love them dearly, and they're announcing their pregnancy. It's kind of like it's not convenient for you. Like, they don't know that you're hiding out in the bathroom giving yourself a progesterone and oil shot so you could, you know, hopefully,
yeah.
find, you know, they don't know what you're doing. You know, they don't know it, and you can't blame them. And then they mm-hmm. come out with a pregnancy announcement at the, you know, obviously the times where most families are together, which
right.
are the holidays, and this is basically where we're going with some of these, you know, tips with, you know, the holidays. You know, you sometimes you want to steer clear of any family and friends, and it sounds terrible, but you know what? Sometimes you, I mean, and I've learned this, especially with baby showers, sometimes you learn that, you know what? I don't have to say yes to everything. It's okay that I'm not going to eat dinner with Aunt Jill. It's okay that I'm not going to my cousin, you know, Blair's bridal shower, you know, or baby shower. It's okay. You know, and
yeah, it's more
that.
Than okay, Fran. It's a requirement
yeah.
if you're to take care
yes.
of yourself in a good way.
Yes,
right, absolutely.
But, you know, but the way you look, you know, like the way I looked at it was, everybody's going to, you know, even though nobody knew, everybody's going to judge me. They're going to be like, oh, Fran can't come to the baby shower because she must be having issues. Or, you know, like, these are things in my head that I was just, you know.
Yeah, the guilt and the shame.
You know,
yeah.
but it's okay to say no. It's
it
okay,
is.
You know, and especially with the holidays. I mean, I truly believe, and this is what I did at times when there were holiday gatherings, and I kind of, you know, dreaded where maybe somebody was going to announce they're pregnant or they were going to ask me a question. You know where I would hang out? Not with the adults. I would hang out with the children, because if the children say something like, oh, where, you know, you don't have a daughter or you don't have a son, you could come up with any explanation and they will leave you alone after that minute.
Well,
and adults will,
that, you know what, will, Fran, that is the most brilliant approach I think
yep.
I've ever heard. Hiding
yep.
in plain view.
Yeah.
I love
hiding,
it.
Yep. Hiding with the children. The children will ask innocent questions. You could come back to them. They will ignore you. They will hang out with you. They're happy that an adult is playing with them. And, you know, other people looking on will kind of look at you like, oh, you know, look at her. She's so good with children. When she has children, she'll be, you know, she'll be a great mom or dad. Let them
right.
talk about you when you're at a bar with you, with the children hanging out and being a child.
That is fabulous.
I love
like,
that.
You
I love that because, you know, children need that instant attention and they want to hang out with the adults. And so if you could be the one adult that's really hanging out with them,
yep.
that's awesome.
That's
but it really addresses it really addresses your strength, Fran, because so many people would listen to that and they would be horrified because
mm-hmm.
a child represents what they want and don't have, and
Absolutely.
your heart is so big that you can just get into the innocence of little children and be with them, and maybe even be. You know, I'm tempted to say spiritually connected to soon it will be you kind of thing.
Right, right. And that's probably in my way of hiding out and thinking I was, you know, doing the wrong thing by not hanging out with the adults. I think that it was my way of connecting and kind of holding on to hope that, you know what, next year this is going to be me. Next year this is going to, you know.
Right.
That is fabulous.
The way I look
just
at it.
Fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but,
and
you know,
I think
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say it kind of reminds me of a topic that is often unsaid, and I learned when I was running my groups that it was unsaid unless I said it, and that is the spiritual component that sometimes people, well, often they feel like Job, why me?
Right.
And that they feel punished, especially if there was a prior abortion. Or sometimes people have said things to me like, I wish I had helped my mother fold the laundry. Then this wouldn't have been, you know, stupid stuff.
Right.
And then, you know, the confusion about higher power and, you know, moral issues, you know, if people get pregnant and they're sitting there with triplets and they're deciding to selectively reduce. I mean, there's all kinds of spiritual things. In fact, one time a woman said to me, I'm praying that the soul of some of my miscarriages come back to me. I thought that was so poignant.
That is so beautiful.
You know,
that is so beautiful.
And it's a place, yeah, I mean, and by the way, spirituality has nothing to do with religion.
No, right.
this is just a heart and a sense, an inner sense of what new life is all about.
It's absolutely wild that you're saying that, because after my loss, I mean, obviously now I do have a son, and you know, I lost a daughter, and what's weird is sometimes I feel my son is spiritual and like kind of like he sees things, because he said to me one day, he's like, Mommy, I had a sister once, and I looked at him very weirdly, like, what are you talking about? And I kind of blew it off, but then like he kept saying it, and I'm like, you know, we had a dog pass away, and he says that he knows that dog, but he wasn't even born. Like it's just some wild things that he says. It's kind
of
like,
and you know what? Your son is not alone. I mean, there are all kinds of stories like this. A woman who's having lunch with her 4-year-old, and you know, she's dipping French fries in ketchup and looks up at her mother and says, I tried to come to you before, but you weren't ready.
Like, yeah.
Duh.
We are spirit beings, and they are waiting to come to us. And I love that, Fran, that, you know, your son was like recognizing he had a sister and a dog, and he's been watching over you even before he came into fruition. So that makes me
acknowledge where I've been with my journey, and then it makes me reflect on my son that may not be here if that did not happen. And I know it sounds terrible, but the way I look at it is more of a positive sense where, you know, the child that I lost, near and dear, I will never forget, but, you know, my son, would he have been here? You know, so it kind of goes back to the sense of, this is the way my journey was supposed to be, and this is the way that it was supposed to happen. Yes, it may have been a struggle, it may have been hard, but this is where I was supposed to be, and, you know, that's kind of, you know, where I go with it.
Well, you know what, you've got a great perspective.
Yeah, and that's full circle, too, with what you were saying earlier, Helen, with, and both of you, like, this is part of the journey. Like, this is who, this makes you better.
Exactly.
And, you know, you're not thinking that in the moment, for sure.
Right,
but,
right.
But after the fact, it is, well, I think any kind of struggle really helps you grow into a better person.
Yeah.
So,
And Helen, before you said two key words that I love and I use a lot, be you. Absolutely be you. No matter what you've been through or where you've been, whether it's this or some other stressful situation, always be you, because nobody is going to change what's inside of you. And if, you know, this journey is, you know, yours and this is the way, you know, it was supposed to end up, or, you know, this is how, you know, everything is supposed to be, you always have to be you, you know. And I love that you said that before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, a key word to me when I work with people who are coming into me for any reason is authenticity.
Yes.
And what happens with fertility is that, I've seen, is that people become more authentic. I've had women who are lawyers who pull themselves off a partner track. This is bullshit compared to wanting a family. You know, people who change directions and give up on their profession to begin, you know, that they started out with because it doesn't resonate. You know, maybe somebody said, you shall be a lawyer, go, you know, and now they're realizing, you know, that's not where it's at for them. And that's exhilarating for me to be part of, to guide people to the core of who they really are.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. It's a beautiful transition to be a witness to, and like you said, a guide. I love doing that. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Fran, you are, okay.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because I think in about a couple of minutes, Fran's going to be departing us, I think. And I just want to make sure that everybody knows that just from this call, there's going to be two free gifts. And Fran, your free gift, and they can get this when it's playing, the link right underneath your name, they're going to get a free PDF version of your book, The Truth Behind the Secret Infertility.
Yes, definitely. And I'm also, after this airs, I'm going to put up a blog post with a couple, you know, a couple of tips that we spoke about in the call. So it'll be on my blog, just, you know, sharing some things about how you should express your emotions and, you know, maybe do right, you know, do what's right for you and sharing these things. So, you know, that'll be something else that'll be on my blog as well.
Awesome. And your website is, can you just say it real quick?
Sure. It's secretinfertility.com.
Awesome. Easy. Excellent. Good. And then they'll also be getting, Fran, you're going to be giving your ebook and a relaxation breathing in the now MP3. So,
oh, that's me, not Fran.
That's me.
Oh, did I say that? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Helen.
Yeah, my an ebook and an MP3, right? Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's
with instructions.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. And just click on Helen's name for that. So, lots of swag for the stocking this year with all of this. Now, Helen, I interrupted you. So, what were you about to say?
Well, I was just going to add one piece that is rather significant, and that is that if you look at coping styles, they can be divided into two categories, and that is problem-solving coping and letting go coping. And problem-solving coping is pretty self-explanatory. You know, you have a problem, what's the solution? You know, I'm not thrilled with my doctor. Okay, I'm going to switch to another person, you know, another practitioner. And some of the techniques that I teach are more cognitive, like how to convert automatic negative thoughts that plague us into affirmations. That's a cognitive approach. But the thing that is most pertinent to this audience is that the letting go techniques, which fall in the category of mindfulness, guided visualization, hypnosis, and self-hypnosis. These are, and meditation. These are techniques that have been studied to have a positive correlation with rates of pregnancy. I'm thinking of one hypnosis study that was done where the only difference between the control group and the experimental group was a hypnotic intervention at the time of embryo transfer, and the pregnancy rates were double. And so that's why when we were in you know, powwowing about how we were going to do this, I thought it would be a great idea if I could provide a letting go episode for people, just a few moments of relaxation, kind of guide them into a place where, as I like to say, their mind re-enters their body. Because when you're dealing with stress, you know, your body's walking the planet, but your mind is touring the solar system. And so to have that mind-body unity, it really can make a difference. And, you know, I'm saying this based on not only 35 years of experience, but the emails that I've gotten from people who have said that the work that I've done with them in this realm, they feel made all the difference in the world, which, you know, I have to say, were it not for top-notch medical care, you know, would not have happened either. But people feel as if they are partners with their medical team.
And, well, and I think the mind-body unity is just a perfect way of putting it, and that's like, you know, your website. So, but seriously, I mean, it is really being in unity with the whole authenticity of yourself, right. And that that connection, I think, is really what you're bringing to fruition.
Yeah.
I want to give Fran an opportunity to say goodbye. I know you had to get off the call early. Fran, is there anything else you want to close with today?
Well, sure. Actually, I just want to mention, I mean, I know Helen would be, you know, is going to do a guided relaxation. And what's wild is when I was going through infertility, I really had no clue about how to relax, ever. Like, I think even now. And, you know, even though, like, you know, you might not feel like, you know, you have that, like, 5 minutes of, you know, mind-body relaxation, what I used to do for myself as a non-professional, just to kind of like I said before, balance myself, was just to find a quiet place where I could think and put things into perspective without kind of racing my mind. And I think it helped me a lot, not knowing that there's so much more out there with the whole mind body. You know, I think I'm learning a lot more of that now, and especially from knowing Helen, I'm learning a lot more.
Yeah.
So I think it is very important. And like I said, like, even if you can't, you know, be part of like a, you know, a, I guess, treatment of mind body or a guided relaxation, it's just good to just find that quiet place and take that 5 minutes of alone time to just, you know where you are and, you know, where you are and where you're going, and then kind of, you know, go with that for the day. You know, 5 minutes can make a lot of difference.
Well, you know what, Fran, it's interesting you're claiming not to have known what you think you needed to know, and there is some merit to that, but I have to say that your intuition was on fire.
Yes.
Because you took yourself to a place that creates a that breaks the spasm of stress, let's put it that way. And what I know about brain science, which we don't have time to get into, I can tell you that 5 minutes is more than 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It really is enough to recalibrate your engines and to get you going.
I find that I need a lot of 5 minutes lately. And I probably would have needed a lot of 5 minutes then as well. But, you know, knowing and learning what you didn't know about, and now learning more about it now, it's more to help now other people to know, this is, you know, this is what you need to do, or this is some tips. Try it. It might not be for you, but it might be for you. So I think it's, you know, it's great. And I think everybody on the call is going to enjoy the guided relaxation. I know I would, you know, Helen and I did an event, and we did like a little guided relaxation. I think it was just wonderful, where it brought your body to balance, you know, at that moment in time. And then you thought about, well, at least I did, I thought about after leaving that event, how it made me feel wonderful. Like, I felt like I was on track again and I wasn't tripping over my own feet, so to speak.
Fran, thank you for the commercial.
Yes.
but,
well, I think we're all here to celebrate one another and celebrate what we're able to, you know, do to help other people. And Fran, I know that you have been an incredible inspiration to many people and many more people to come. So thank you for still being that advocate and that friend through, you know, you telling the truth behind your secret of infertility. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And I do have to say that, you know, being an advocate and, you know, having other people learn from things that I've done or, you know, sharing things with them, it's helped me heal. So it's just like an honor to actually be part of this community and be part of just sharing things with other people. So thank you. And thank you again for having me on the show. And enjoy Helen's Guided Relaxation. And if you need any other information on my website or myself, it's secretinfertility.com.
Yes, perfect. Thank you so much, Fran.
Thank you, ladies.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, Helen, wonderful. I'm so excited to have you share the letting go coping strategy of your relaxation.
Okay.
Well,
shall I start?
Yes, you may.
And am I to assume 10 minutes, 8 minutes? You tell me.
Let's see. What are we at? You can go for, you can definitely go for 10.
Okay, cool. Then I would like to invite people to make themselves as physically comfortable as is possible at this moment. And however comfortable you can get yourself to be will be exactly right.
Yes.
And what you're hearing right now is my way of grounding myself by taking a luxurious inhalation. And as you do that, I would like to remind you that our breath is a built-in tranquilizer. It is not a cliche, and I'd like to invite you now to make it real by luxuriating in that inhalation where you feel the air coming in through your nostrils and going down your trachea, expanding your lungs. And with a deep enough breath, you may even feel your lungs pressing against your rib cage as your torso expands to take in the life force. What could be better than your life force at a time when you're looking to create new life?
Mm-hmm.
And the exhalation, by the way, the exhalation is the way that we address the parasympathetic nervous system, meaning the part of the breath that really is the relaxing part. You've heard the expression, a sigh of relief. So as you continue to really explore and enjoy several deep inhalations and luxurious exhalations in a place of comfort that is as comfortable as you can make yourself right now, I invite you to follow my words and to notice the way that you can bring attention to the inner lower corner of your eyes, the inner lower corner of your eyes. And I don't know why, but bringing your attention there can release a beautiful cascade of relaxation that you feel loosening up and softening up the rest of your body. And by the same token, lips together, teeth apart, letting go of your lower jaw, again, a beautiful cascade of relaxation that you can follow through your body as you exhale. That's right. Just like that. Just like that. Nice and easy does it. And as you breathe freely and easily, easily and freely, you might discover the way that you can use the breath to bring attention to your comfort, the way that you can take an inhalation and notice its capacity to smooth out the wrinkles in your forehead and scalp, and how on an exhalation you can continue that motion in your mind's eye around the back of your neck and across your shoulders, seeing to it that your ears are equidistant from your shoulders, balancing your head evenly. And on the next exhalation, continue that motion slowly, slowly down each of your arms, through your elbows, through your wrists, into your fingers, and experience the way that you can let go of what you no longer need through the tips of your fingers. And on the next inhalation, you can imagine the breath coming in through your nostrils and down through your trachea into your lungs. And what if you use the power of your creative imagination to let it go past your lungs so that it could gently massage all of your internal organs, especially the reproductive organs, using heart energy to address that which is heartfelt, namely creating receptivity in your uterus, in your ovaries, in the sperm production for the men out there. And another lovely inhalation in through your nostrils, into your lungs, through your body. And this time, imagine that that inhalation splits and then travels on the exhale down each of your legs, slowly, as if you were pushing toothpaste through a tube, so that your thighs and hamstrings become loose and limp, loose and limp, pushing what you no longer need through your knees, through your shins and calves, through your ankles, into your feet, and allow what's been superfluous to ooze out through the tips of your toes, leaving you soft, receptive, open-hearted, ready to receive, ready to love, individually and with your partner. And I'd like to tell you a very short story about something that I did when I was 12 years old. Having grown up in New Jersey, I spent some time each summer at the Jersey Shore, and as a 12-year-old, frolicking in the waves, riding the waves, diving the waves. And then I got this bee in my bonnet, and I decided I was going to dive under the waves all the way down to the bottom. And it was one of the most fascinating experiences I've ever had, because, again, as a 12-year-old, I thought, ooh, I'll open my eyes. So there I am under a wave, watching the way the sand moved in slow motion, in different patterns, watching the swaying, gentle swaying of the seaweed, and all along feeling the rough and tumble of the breaker rolling over my back. Gentleness below, turmoil above. What a perfect metaphor for infertility, as you can bring yourself under the turbulence, especially at this holiday time, to bring yourself under the turbulence, maybe many times a day as needed, given the assaults and the insults that can come. And I'm presuming that just the way I said, make yourself as comfortable as you can, that you've now brought yourself under the turbulence to the degree that is possible today, right now. And I invite you to just credit yourself for the way that you have empowered this inner journey to a place of wisdom and truth and safety under the turbulence. My words are by design meant to help you. However, I cannot bring anyone wherever it is that you have gone. That you get the credit for. And what you've done just now, you can do again and again and again. And if you need help, you can play this recording.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing freely and easily, easily and freely, rejoicing in that built-in tranquilizer, rejoicing in your capacity to travel down to the core of your being, where it's safe, where you're under the turbulence. And I'd like to invite you to memorize this place, making it that much easier to return here at will. I'd like you to find a place to store this experience, also making it that much easier for you to find it again. And then to begin the process of very gently and respectfully bringing yourself back to ordinary reality, one breath at a time, one slow motion breath at a time, coming back feeling refreshed and alert and ready for the rest of your day. Welcome.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, Helen.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And I'd like to invite people to keep my web address handy, because there's a free relaxation there. You can also sign up for my newsletter. My website has a blog. And I would be more than happy to answer any questions. I really believe that the hallmark of what makes me, as opposed to a person who has a brand, is that I'd love to be available one-on-one. Please feel free to call or email. I'm happy to be available in any way that you need.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And they can contact you by just clicking on the link below your name, and they'll be in contact with you that way as well. But let us mention your website, and I think it's the word mind dash, and that's a dash in the middle, not an underscore. So that's a dash body dash unity.com. Correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I'm so excited that you're giving so much today, an ebook on mm-hmm. Fertile Ground, Healing Infertility, and the Breathing in the Now Relaxation MP3. That's such...
Which will also help people get back into this zone.
Yes.
And I would also like to thank you, Renee, because I have been devoted to this field for 35 years, and it's such a pleasure for me to reach as many people as I can who I know are suffering.
Well, and I'm so honored that you said yes to be a mm-hmm. part of this telesummit, because, you know, my mission as well is to reach as many people as we can, and we're definitely in alignment when we want to help in our own unique ways in helping all that are going through infertility. So
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
and
just
women.
Think, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. We, you know, I personally have, you know, like Fran, has been through my own journey, and through that have healed myself in doing a lot of these methods. And so, you know, finding what works and being able to spread the word, and then finding other people that can heal in their unique ways, and, you know, giving that education to people so that they can find their way. And that's the fertility advice that actually works, right?
It's out there. Just grab it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to share, Helen?
I just would invite the listeners to tell their friends and family and anybody who they might be on this journey with to tune in. There's a lot that can offer relief.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Helen. I just celebrate you, and I'm so happy that, yeah, that we made this this threesome with Fran, you and me, work today, and I know that there's a lot of value here. So just thank you so much for being here today and helping us and those tuning in really reduce that stress going through infertility during the holiday season.
My pleasure.
All right. Take care.
Mm-hmm.